You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA. My name's David Ball. I'm here with Aaron Moon and Robert Lumsden and Annie. How are you going, team?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Great. Very well, Dave. Good morning to all.
All our members who are out there in COVID land while lockdown's on everywhere, our office is not, the reception is closed at the moment. All the officials are all certainly available, but it is a difficult time for our members. They're travelling through streets with not many cars around, and lockdown's a real thing again here in Victoria. I think this is our fifth lockdown. Would that be right, Casper?
It is lockdown 5.0. I love the way they give these things names.
Yeah. And South Australia's gone into lockdown today or tomorrow, or yesterday.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah. They've only got like five or six cases, one new case yesterday, and lockdown. So Gladys in New South Wales is the villain of Australian politics, which we all
know. Interesting that the Conservative Premier in South Australia ran the exact same line as the Conservative National Government has been criticising Dan Andrews for, saying we're going quick, we're going hard, and we're going fast.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild to see the divide in politics, eh? Good to see that some are listening to health advice, though.
And what about Albo's travelling around the country doing a heap of campaigning while Morrison's stuck in a little hole somewhere making an ass out of himself like he usually does?
There was about 3 days this week where he just wasn't seen. Like, nobody knows what he was doing. Fucking hiding in a cupboard in a lodge somewhere.
You've got to remember that he went off to that NAF meeting, which he wasn't actually invited to overseas, and then he had to come back and do 14 days of quarantine. And then everybody started to say, where is he? But that was where he was.
I'm okay. And I've seen him on the telly every day spinning, you know, trying to sell me a car or you know.
Yeah, for sure. So COVID has a massive impact on our industry, and the area that really tops it the most are the seafarers. The first story started to pop up a couple of weeks ago. One in particular was when they were meant to be home for 4 to 5 weeks, and all of a sudden they got a phone call off the company saying, if you want to come back to West Australia to join your ship, you need to come now and go straight into 2 weeks isolation. Some seafarers, Casper was telling me, had to go to Howard Springs and go there for 2 weeks before they could join their ships. So it's really turned their lives upside down. You can imagine they're kicking back with their families. They're thinking they've got 2 weeks left at home. All their plans are made and bang, off to isolation. It must be really tough for those people.
It is, and it's just the, I suppose, all the different states with all the different rules. And if you want to join the ship over off the west, yeah, you come from Victoria, probably New South Wales seafarers would be finding the same thing, that you need to isolate. So they were flying to Howard Springs in Darwin to isolate at Howard Springs for 14 days before they can fly to the west to pick up their ship. It's just a massive impact on both the seafarers themselves and their families and all the things around them. It's just an incredible time we're living through. And you mentioned Gladys before. I've got to laugh. You know, the gold standard of, we're the gold standard, and all of a sudden that gold badge has gone missing. I know that. And what about The other thing I was going to, when you were talking before, Dave, about Dan Andrews, Dan, his press conferences now, he's just jabbing it to Gladys like.
As you would.
We're doing this, this, and this because we don't want to find ourselves, you know, with a runaway car. It's just fantastic.
It's also interesting that the media, the three Valkyries that were usually at his press conference in the first round of the very long lockdown have seemed to have disappeared. There's no, oh, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You're a blah, 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 blah. Now they're all acting as if they had the great idea.
Yeah.
That's right. It's actually incredible.
After New South Wales was fucked up, now they've adopted that strategy anyways, because they've got a couple of cases in the central west of New South Wales. They've locked that down for 7 days as a snap lockdown.
Yeah.
So they've picked up the Melbourne strategy amongst their massive shit show that they have now.
And the other thing that they're doing, which is a real Liberal Party thing and New South Wales thing in particular, is the law and order stuff, where they're using the police and having really, you know, showing that, you know, it's a law and order issue and all this sort of stuff, which is quite, you know, from one extreme to another, you know what I mean?
And the impact, sorry, Casper, go on.
It took Gladys about 2 weeks to realise that maybe those Gucci stores and all those high-end stores, maybe we should shut them and maybe they're not essential. Maybe we should shut them and just have supermarkets and, you know, chemists open. And I just had the mentality is just beyond me.
I can't believe that you don't think a Gucci bag is essential. Come on, Casper. You're a man of fashion and style.
Apparently, Dan Andrews said at one of his things that Morrison isn't the Prime Minister of New South Wales. He's the Prime Minister, right?
Of course, the group that really has had a hard time, excuse me, from the start of COVID has been the international seafarers. The international seafarers have been stuck on vessels. You know, when they get to the coast of Australia, you know, Australians don't want them to come down their gangways because they could spread disease. They're missing their families. They've been stuck on ships for longer than they're meant to be on them. There's that ship in Western Australia, Andy, we spoke just before the show, where there's a bunch of seafarers sick. And what did they do? They tested them and shoved them back on the ship into isolation. I hope none of them need intensive care or any special care because they've been stuck on their ship. And we've also, you know, it's hit us here in Victoria because Victoria's been quite isolated from the West. We've had a couple of international ships turn up where the crew have just said, we've had enough. They know that they've got some good people in Victoria who will support them. Matty Purcell from the ITF, and the ITF's been supporting international seafarers. And Aaron, you're down at the wharf right at the moment. What's going on there, mate?
Mate, we're down at Gellibrand Pier where we have one of the tankers here where the crew have been on board the vessel for many, many, many months past their nominated contract. But the work of the ITF, yourself and the Tasmanian branch, Dave, have been able to secure the repatriation of that crew and also ensuring that some of our members from our database here, some of the highly skilled seafarers that we have locally are being able to board the vessel and sail it to Malaysia and then to Singapore. So it's one of the good news stories that it's the crew are getting home. They're going to get home safely and we're going to use some of our local content to make sure that vessel sails off. And we've got, as we know, we've got highly skilled seafarers sitting there like coiled springs waiting to get up the gangway. And that's what we're doing today. So we're just making sure they get on there and get going. So we're still quite fortunate, even though we did lose our tanker fleet about 4 or 5 years ago, the final one. A lot of our members still have the skills to be able to man fuel tankers. So it's great to see that we've been able to get them up the gangway and get them working and get that vessel sailing this afternoon.
It's pretty interesting that the business logistics have said that, you know, get rid of Australian skills, basically, in this sort of department. But then when the shit hits the flat fan, what do you do?
That's exactly right.
So Aaron and I did a visit to Patrick's recently, and there was a crew change going on there, and pulled up in the car park to go to security to be able to access the site and our members. And there's a sky bus there, and there's, you know, Department of Health people all in there. So it's quite a process to get the international crew off the ship. It's not just it's really off the ship. They take the bus to them. They come off the gangway onto the bus. It's really quite detailed.
It's quite detailed and quite clinical, isn't it? So they're all in scrubs and masks and full PPE, face shields like that. It's a very clinical process. It must be quite daunting for somebody walking down the gangway to see people dressed like that. I remember the first time I got off a plane coming back from interstate and seeing them on ship myself. So I imagine it's quite concerning for seafarers in a foreign country coming down.
This is what the union has been saying to government all the way, all the different state governments all the way through. And the ship in Western Australia was another that all those positives on it highlighted it, that we've got to test the crew. So, you know, but they're asking, like in Victoria, that if you board a gangway, you know, whether you're a lasher or whatever you might be, you board a gangway, that you've got to be tested every 7 days.
Yeah.
We've said all along, it's the crew. You know, you need to test the crew, and you need to test them when they come in, all the way through. And once again, and we saw what happened in Darwin going back a few weeks ago when, you know, it was our members that went and got, you know, some were taken from home, some were taken from the job, and they had to isolate in the facility up there at Howard Springs for 14 days. Just extraordinary that, you know, once again, the MUA has been right in everything that they've proposed to government around this. We put the logical solutions to them, and they go, no. They don't want to be there. Someone, some bureaucrat, you know, wants to put more red tape and more, and just make it more difficult. And we saw in Sydney last weekend, when Gladys said there was three of those local government areas that people weren't allowed to go to work. And all of a sudden our members are going, what the hell? We're part of the supply chain. We're a critical part of the supply chain in the country. And all of a sudden they're being told that they couldn't go to work. Well, that changed, but that took a couple of days, a day or two to change that before they went, oh, we've got to have these people going to work.
You mean that there's a disconnect between politicians and the people on the ground?
Yeah, I know it's
I perish the thought.
New, Annie, it's something new, I get it, but
it's so cynical, Annie.
You're just speaking the truth, mate. It's just incredible, isn't it? That, you know, if we put it forward, it's a shit idea because it's conservative governments in place. It's a shit idea if we put it forward.
Well, we couldn't get Dan Andrews' government over the line with that one, so don't worry about conservative governments, although Dan probably is classified as a conservative government. Get rid of them all.
I don't know who you have running the joint if you had your way. You're like the person who barracks with their footy side, and they go, he's no good. By the time you've finished, you've got about three people on the team.
Who the fuck's playing?
Don't worry about that. I'll be there in September this year with the Bulldogs. They're all great. I don't know whether Richmond will make the eight this year.
It's a little battle going on at the moment.
Come on, mate.
Anyhow,
we'll be right.
The classic game was actually Collingwood and Carlton, which is interesting because they're the two in the past. Blue they boat. Were the two poles, right? Opposite poles, but it was a bit of a cranky game. I mean, you know, like two second-hand vehicles lumbering onto the ground, really, weren't they?
So COVID has had other impacts. We've had a big campaign running up around Switzer, trying to get a few rallies happening around Melbourne. We've had one in Geelong. We've had one in Geelong, one in Melbourne. It was great to have the whole union movement turn up. Annie turned up for 3CR and we were really getting a bit of momentum there. We had another one planned for last Friday and bang, into lockdown. So it's definitely, you can't question the fact that COVID is an invention by the government to stop unions pushing their campaigns.
Another theory.
Whoa! Get your little tinfoil hat out, Dave. I heard that Bill Gates is putting microchips into us all too. Lunatic.
Having a massive effect on our campaigns. Dave mentions Switzer, and I know at Patrick's, we notified for a 24-hour lockdown that was to happen tomorrow, Friday, from 7 a.m. tomorrow to 7 a.m. Saturday. Had to pull that. Action that's due on Monday will need to be pulled now. And that's just the union. For the listeners out there, Annie, the union has a preference. I won't say policy, a preference to not go into protected action when we're in a lockdown, when any city or whatever is in a lockdown, because it's tough enough as it is for people. And to be truthful, they're better off going to work anyway. So,
well, it's a controversial subject because not everybody agrees with it. I reckon fuck the media. I reckon we should have protected action all over the country until these arseholes come to the table and negotiate in a fair and reasonable manner. What do you think, Annie?
Well, it's all about effect, isn't it? How useful is it?
Yeah. So
I mean, you have to work out your strategies, really, don't you? Because the other side generally... I mean, it was interesting. I saw a picture of the guy that's the CEO at Switzer. He was so unlike the people who actually run the boats. It was so clearly the bean counter aspect of the big logistics company that is behind this way of removing skilled workers who actually aren't asking for very much and who are union represented by fly-in, fly-out workers. So it's obviously not the money. It's actually about power. But it's also the bean counters at a particular level of international finance that are actually running the show when it comes to these strategies that they've got. There's no logic in it. It's like destroying the ground for an extra crop. But in the years to come, it's all just going to fall apart.
So I've done a little bit of research on Switzer, and Switzer owned by Maersk, which is where our rally was going to be last Friday. And Maersk was set up by a fella called A.P. Moller in about 1917. The same family has run the business right through. They have 70% of the voting power. So a grandson of A.P. Moller still runs the company. And, you know, extraordinarily, in the financial year 2019-2020, they made $2.9 billion. But in the first quarter of this financial year, they've made $2.7 billion. So in the first quarter, they've nearly equaled all of last year's finances. So they're having an extraordinary year. Switzer has an annual income or revenue base of $48 million. So, you know, it's not like we're dealing with a company that's not making money or not making a profit.
I read an article a couple of days ago about shipping companies and lines making record profits, and it looks like it's just going to continue to soar. It's something like $13,000 US per container they're charging. It's massive money, and the percentages that they've made were anywhere from about 8% to 17% increase, you know, which is just shows. And we've seen it in Australia, where the richest people in Australia's wealth has just gone ballooned exponentially, and that seems to be the case all the way around the world. It's not foreign to us. It's actually seems to be the norm for the more you've got, the more you make in a pandemic.
Well, also, it's been going on for longer.
Trying to get the space like the rest of the billionaires.
Yeah, no, it's been going on for longer. I listened to Sally McManus talking about this, and their stats show that 10% of the wealth of the country has been moved directly from the working class to the pockets of the most wealthy. So billions of dollars, it represents billions of dollars. And she said it represents about $20,000 out of the pocket of each worker every year.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
Is it ever?
And it's gone, it's directly the same amount that the working class have lost has gone into the pockets of the billionaires.
Yeah. That's what the, how much tax do you reckon the billionaires pay?
Yeah.
Well, zero. They've got good tax accountants, don't they? The thing about that is an interesting thing is that they get loans from government from banks at single figure percentages, right? You think about your housing loan, how much interest you pay on your housing loan. They actually get it from 1%. If they make a false move in some investment, that's a tax write off. Right. So that there's a whole range of things that and all the money that they've got involved in their business is considered to be not in the taxable ledger because it's been it's working capital. That's why they don't pay any tax.
Yeah.
And the Europeans have been trying to make them pay tax on their profits in the country that they make the profits.
Fantastic.
That's been one of the ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And the biggest...
That was a consequence of the G7 discussion, though.
Mm. They've been
the
working
minimum
on
minimum tax rate of 15% for the country of origin or the birth of the profit, the source of the profit, I should say.
Which all just sounds terribly ordinary and reasonable to everybody else, but it's quite clear that there's too much power in the hands of... the financiers, and you have to ask the question, are they too expensive? Can we afford them?
For sure.
And they try to make out that everything would fall apart without them, but you sort of wonder.
Yeah. So, another thing, I read somewhere else as well that the richer families have been able to squirrel away money into self-managed super funds because they're able to transfer their money and then pay... I think it's gone up to $1.7 million each, so a couple can put $3.4 million away. And then after that, they can squirrel money away at 15 cents in the dollar. And so they wouldn't name the person, but it was a family of $500 million, half a billion dollars that they've been able to rort their way through legally. So it's, the Conservative government's got to take a good look at themselves about how they structure... how they structure these investment funds that only the wealthy gain from, but
because that's
all they
want to
do
working...
is get their grubby hands on ours.
But that's the thing. See, working people are just getting on with their business. I mean, why should we have to know all this?
The Conservative government's not going to look at it because it's them that's doing it. It's them and their families and their mates that are doing it. They're not going to fucking pick the pockets of their mates.
One thing we can say, though, is that, the small percentage of Australian workers that are still protected by unions are the best paid members of the workforce in Australia. So it is the union movement that are fighting back against these arseholes. So that's a tick for us, I reckon.
Yeah. You've got to have people who are actually keeping an eye on the books,
Yeah.
And everybody needs to join their union.
Absolutely. And we might have a... We might have a bit of a success story, hopefully, Aaron, with Engaged Marine Boys coming on board a bit. They've been a bit of a cowboy outfit in the past. Well, when I say cowboy outfit, they've been working outside the union movement.
Yeah, so we've had some pretty good advancements and some decent meetings with the guys down there recently. Dave, you and I were down there only earlier this week, at which point we're having a broad discussion with them. We've only ever had a single member on there, but it looks like that's going to broaden out, and we hopefully might be able to get a union agreement with them, which will be some fantastic work by the branch, yourself particularly,
and the
union broadly.
It's always the branch, Casper. It's always the branch.
No, mate, that's the way we operate.
That's it. Well, members, I think we're nearly just about at the end of our show, are we? How are we going,
Looks
Annie?
Like it. Looks like we're about to wrap up. We've got members arriving down here on the dock now, so I'm going to have to jump out and take off and see them before they jump onto this vessel.
Well, Well, send them all our best, Aaron. Great work, mate. It's an exciting time for Australian seafarers when we're joining international vessels and helping international brothers and sisters get home to their families. So, anyway.
Here to stay.
And if anybody's finding it tough through this lockdown, don't forget. We've got Hunterlink. Give them a call on their 1-800 number or just Google hunterlink.org.au. They're there to help. They're there to help our members and our members' families. So, feel free to use it any time. It's free and anonymous. So,
and the song is.
Enjoy lockdown, everyone.
Cheers. See ya.
And the song is.
Bye. And the song is.
Now. Cheers.
And what's the song? What do you want?
We don't know what the song is.
Oh, can we put that song in the Jeff Bezos song?
Look at you now, Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett. Amateurs can fucking suck it, fuck their wives, drink their blood. Come on, Jeff, get 'em! Look at you now, Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett. Amateurs can fucking suck it, fuck their wives, drink their blood. Come on, Jeff, get 'em!
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.